There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
No one warned us. No one said you were going to lose both engines at a lower altitude than any jet in history. This was dual engine loss at 2,800 feet, followed by an immediate water landing with 155 souls on board. No one has ever trained for an incident like that.
Our job is to investigate how a plane ended up in the Hudson River.
On the Hudson.
It's not a crash. It was a forced water landing.
Simulations showed that you could make it back to the airport.
Not possible. I felt it go.
My aircraft.
Your aircraft.
I want you to know I did the best I could.
Of course you did. You saved everyone.
People call you a hero.
I don't feel like a hero.
Show us your case, Super Sally.
There's been too much talk in the press already.
I'm overwhelmed by all this attention.
The left engine was still operating.
What if I didn't get this wrong? What if I endangered the lives of all those passengers?
I got an A320 diving for the ribbon.
You did everything you could. It was more than enough.
When was your last drink, Captain Stolberg? Have you had any troubles at home?
This is the captain. Brace for impact.
What?
Brace, brace, brace! Heads down, stay down!
There were 155 people on that plane.
Brace, brace, brace!
You were one
Heads
of them.
Down,
over 40 years in the air,
brace, brace.
But in the end, I'm going to be judged on 208 seconds.
Stay down.
I need a count, passengers and crew.
Is anyone still here?
That's the trailer for the movie Sully. Looks like not only one that keeps your attention and keeps you in your seat, but also it's a true story, of course, the story of that water landing in the Hudson River after this plane, nearly full of people, struck some birds. Tom Hanks is the star and Clint Eastwood is the director. How good is it going to be? And is there anything in it for the Christian to observe especially? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, September the 16th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be reviewing that movie Sully with Pastor Ted Giese here in the first few minutes of the program. A little bit later, the church remembers today 3rd century bishop and martyr Cyprian of Carthage. Dr. Joel Olowski of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis will join us to remember him as well. We'll be talking with Terry Mattingly about biblical satire, especially the Babylon Bee. I'm sure you've seen it. How hard is it to do what Adam Ford does on a regular basis on that satirical website? Then Edie Wadsworth joins us in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. We're going to talk about a woman's story from past pain to present grace. She's authored the new book, All the Pretty Things. Pastor Ted Giese is a regular guest. He joins us to review the movie Sully. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
Do you think it's a good idea, the release date coinciding with the weekend of this big anniversary of 9/11 here in the United States?
I think it is, actually. I think that there's lots of different ways how people mark that day or think about that day, particularly for those of us who remember that day personally. So I think this was a good, it was respectful. The way they did it, it was respectful. The movie has 9/11 kind of looms in the movie, and it's part of the fabric of the story of the movie. But it's done in a very respectful, very, I think, positive way.
Ted, is there an explicit reference in the Sully movie to 9/11, the event?
Not explicit, but it's there. There's a couple things that come up that really focus in on that and bring it into the story. 9/11 is kind of part of the fabric of the story in the background of everything. And to give maybe a little bit of a spoiler for people, spoiler alert, I'll mention a couple things, and you think to yourself, well, why a spoiler alert for this kind of movie when it was so much in the media? back in 2009, people might remember that. But really, like, the movie digs into the personal, internal psychological experience of the pilot, the main pilot, Captain Sullenberger. So it gets into some things that connect back with that 9/11, you know, back in 2001. So before 9/11 and after 9/11 particularly, pilots do not want to have their plane crash into buildings. So after the events that the film takes and looks at with the Miracle on the Hudson and him being able to land that plane, Sullenberger is shown having kind of like thoughts, thinking back to what would have happened if he hadn't been able to land it the way he did on the water. And there are images of the plane that he was flying crashing into buildings in New York City. And it troubles him as part of his internal thoughts. So that is one of the ways in which 9/11 kind of creeps back into the movie and is part of the story itself. There's another spot where once it's clear that 155 people, all the people in the crew, were saved in the forced water landing, that somebody says it's been a while since New York City had any news this good, especially with an airplane in it. So it's not explicit, but it's certainly there, and it underpins the story itself.
It deals, you say, in a rather truncated way with what was, and a dramatized way, of what was a long and, I'm sure, very boring process of the investigation that followed this water landing.
Yeah, you know, the investigation afterwards took 15 months. And, of course, if you have 96 minutes to tell the story, you're going to have to try to cram all that into your 96 minutes. So they do that in such a way that has some more drama to it, I guess. Perhaps maybe a little more drama than would have actually been there. Like you said, sometimes these kinds of investigatory meetings might be a little dry. Of course, it's really, you know, not unusual for them to ask questions like, when was the last time you had an alcoholic beverage? Were you taking any drugs? Do you have any health issues? Or, you know, personal stresses in your life that would have impacted your ability to do your job that day. Like, that's all kind of normal things that you would ask somebody, even if things went well. And, of course, how the questions get asked makes a difference. So in the movie, there's a kind of a, it moves from being kind of dispassionate investigation to being more antagonistic in the first third or half of the movie. And that kind of ramps up some additional tension within the film itself. But did those meetings happen the way they happened, exactly the way that they're shown in the movie? Not exactly, because they had to condense all of that in to that 96-minute time frame. So you have to kind of take some of those initial meetings with the NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board investigatory team, with a bit of a grain of salt.
Talk about some Christian symbolism that you noticed at a key point in the film.
There's a couple things that come up, and I think that it's something to watch for if you're going to see the movie and haven't seen it yet, or if you're thinking back on it now. So there's two things that crop up. One is, the first thing you kind of see is there's a car, like a coach, that both Sully Sullenberger and his co-pilot, Skiles, who is played by Aaron Eckhart, so Sully is played by Tom Hanks, they're getting put into this coach and to be driven somewhere, and it's in the evening, and it's in New York City, and on the side of the building above the car, there is a white neon bright cross sign, like a neon sign that's on the side of the building, and of course, it's perfectly framed right above the car that they've gotten into. So that is a way of really, like, that's not by accident. Like, the framing of it, you know, Clint Eastwood knows that that cross is there. And, of course, he knows what the cross symbolizes within Western culture, and particularly within American culture, that it is a way of kind of pointing to these pilots as being the instruments of the deliverance of the people from sudden evil death. Right, so as a Christian viewer, you're going to hopefully connect the dots on that idea that's being visually presented. The other thing is that, you know, you'd think that he would spend a lot of time focusing on people like you know, praying the rosary or praying, you know, as the plane is potentially maybe going to crash. But he doesn't really spend time on that. I mean, he shows them there. In fact, that is more tense than you'd imagine. It's not a quiet moment because the flight attendants are saying, you know, brace for impact, you know, head down kind of thing. What he does do, though, is the air traffic control officer who's been contacting them and trying to help them figure out if they can get to an airport or what they need to do. His name is Patrick Harton, and that guy has this kind of extraordinarily brief exclamation slash prayer or prayer slash explanation that's basically, you know, it's a prayer for mercy to God. Like when it sinks in what's about to happen, he says, "Oh God," and it's in a like kind of like a Lord have mercy kind of moment. And that is, and that character, that air traffic control officer, is the most relieved of characters in the movie that to find out that they all survived. And I think that as a Christian viewer, you're wondering, well, where is it all in there? And of course, they don't have time to pray. They got 208 seconds to land the plane somewhere. But there are people praying for them. And the air traffic control officer is one who slips a prayer in there.
Talk about this match of, and a lot of people are already saying, look, you got probably one of the best director storytellers working right now, Clint Eastwood, matched with automatic box office gold, Tom Hanks. Talk about that relationship there.
Yeah, this is a really good pairing. In the review that I wrote, I talked about how Clint Eastwood himself, of course, has this storied acting career. You know, things like The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, Dirty Harry. You can, the list just goes on and on. You know, even in a movie that he directed, Gran Torino himself in it. He's a wonderful actor. And being a really wonderful actor, he then knows actors. And then you pair that with an actor who's a really wonderful actor in Tom Hanks. And suddenly you have this really great thing going on. And he takes the time to really focus in on like emotions and thoughts and things that are going on that Tom Hanks is able to get across just on his face alone. So almost like a director might look at a landscape or at an action sequence that's giving you information, you know, he's able to quietly spend the time to show you thought processes and things that are going on in Tom Hanks's performance of Sully Sullenberger, the pilot. So, and not just in the cockpit, but also afterwards in those sleepless nights and in different times and during those investigatory meetings. And it's a very good combination of a really good actor and a really good director working together.
The concept of an American hero is one that also runs through Eastwood's films here in different ways, but this one especially, because the word hero was automatically being written into the headlines as the event was unfolding in the media. How is that concept kind of enriched here in this telling of this story in this film, Sully?
Well, I think it's interesting because we talked about a movie that Clint Eastwood did called American Sniper, and that was about a Navy SEAL sniper, Chris Kyle. And he was kind of like a hero after the fact later. Like people would regard him as a hero, but they didn't know anything about what happened at the time that his stuff was going on. But pretty much instantaneously, Chelsea Sullenberger, this Sully, people knew about his story immediately. So he like was deemed the Miracle on the Hudson, and he was the saint of the Miracle on the Hudson. And what Clint Eastwood does as part of this film is he's kind of contrasting what the man in the midst of that media story is thinking and feeling, and his relationship with his wife, played by Laura Linney, and with his co-pilot, played by Aaron Eckhart, kind of contrasted against what people think of him. So he's getting random hugs from people. People want to give him a free drink. They're naming drinks after him. They, you know, there's the media kind of end of it. But what Clint Eastwood does is he plays the contrast between what people think of him and what he thinks of himself, this pilot Sully.
You also have some kind of pastoral thoughts on, and you mentioned this just a moment ago, people praying for them, that this film can be, for Christians, a reminder that, you know, we talk about this all the time, people who, in the general prayer of the church, people who work in dangerous occupations. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, anybody who flies regularly or who has family members who do, I was just on a flight from Edmonton to Regina, and next week we're going to be on a flight to Germany. And, boy, you know, like, pray for yourself, but pray for those pilots, and not just for them, but the mechanics and all of the different people that are involved in the air traffic controllers, the flight crew, everybody who's involved in flight, because it's kind of an amazing thing. Like, you're up in the air, and you're getting somewhere very quickly, and it's an amazing thing that we're able to do all of this. And it's dangerous. Like, he like only had 208 seconds to figure out what to do. And because he had 42 years of experience, he was the right guy, along with all of the rest of the people who helped out, because once the plane landed, they had 24 minutes to get them out of the water before the plane would have sunk. But all those people are super important, and they're totally worth praying for. And for me, it reminded me of, while I was watching the movie, I just, you know, because you bring your confession of faith into the movie theater with you, I'm sitting there thinking to myself about that hymn, Eternal Father, Strong to Save. In verse 3, it says, O Spirit, whom the Father sent to spread abroad the firmament, O wind of heaven, by thy might save all who dare the eagle's flight, and keep them by thy watchful care from every peril in the air. And that verse just kind of popped into my head as I was watching the movie, and thoughts of keeping these people in your prayers, not just praying for yourself and your family, but for all those who are, you know, busy at work, making sure that you're in good shape. And the planes are flying over our heads all the time, right? So you don't even have to be going for a flight or having somebody on a flight to have those guys in your prayers.
In the end, you say that this is a story, well-told, dramatic, an American story, but one about a guy who simply did his job, who simply acted according to his vocation. Your final pastoral thoughts there, Pastor Giese.
Well, this is the thing. Like, a movie like this is a great encouragement to everybody in their vocations in life to really embrace that vocation and to rise to the occasion, whether that's an ordinary thing or an extraordinary thing, because by doing your work well, you benefit the lives of others and make them better. And that was a life-changing event for that 155 people on that plane. But, you know, even regular things like babies that need their diapers changed and floors that need to be cleaned and, you know, maintenance that needs to be done well, all sorts of things in life require diligence and rising to the occasion and doing a good job. And this is just a wonderful example of that, that people can watch the movie and then think about that for themselves in their life too.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You can read his review of the movie Sully at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thank you very much.
Thank you.
On this Friday, September the 16th, the church is remembering 3rd century bishop and martyr Cyprian of Carthage. We'll do the same with the help of Dr. Joel Olowski of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis right after this. He's dressing up to be there too. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night and the moon is, who cares what picture you see?
Over and over again, I tried to let the entire book reflect this, that the holiness of all the saints is only the holiness of Jesus reflected in their lives.
Pastor Will Wheaton, author of the new book, Celebrating the Saints.
And this holiness of Christ is the thing which the saints grabbed onto in faith, and it illumined their lives.
You can purchase Celebrating the Saints by calling 1-800-325-3040 or at issuesetc.org.
your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.